This is Pastor John Coleman in Los Angeles, California. Thank you for coming by the site today. Thank you for going to the YouTube clip page. Boy, an awful lot of things to share with you today. And what is today? Today is June the 18th, 2009. That's right. It is Thursday, and a Thursday morning in the Lucy Coleman studio right here in Los Angeles, California. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So many hits on The Bold Preacher. You've been watching that clip, haven't you? It's all right. You don't have to comment to me about it. I think it speaks for itself. Yeah. Speak for itself. I want you to know something that I just started to put up a brand new series on the YouTube clips called Godly Leadership. I want you to watch that series very closely too. It was preached by me in 1995 at the Calvary Baptist Church in Santa Monica, California. I want you to pay attention to the words. I want you to study it. I want those of you that are seriously inclined towards ministry today to realize exactly what you're thinking about getting involved in. I want those of you that I think of Brother Redman, who is pastoring, I think, one of the finest Baptist churches in the state of Maryland. I was there. I think he wrote a book called Why Black Men Don't Go to Church Anymore. Well, he's no longer pastoring that church. And I recall when I visited him there, I embraced him and I looked in his eyes and I told him, I says, you're a good man. You're preaching the gospel, but you're in one of these kinds of churches. And needless to say, he had to leave. All the good ministers, all the serious ones, all the ones that are going to do exactly what God has told them to do will suffer damage in those kinds of churches. And you know why? Because sinners are embedded in the church. This is why the church now has been taken over by bandits, pimps. I mean, these people that know scripture. And I want to say this too, because the Lord placed this on my heart to share with you. And I know that a lot of my young friends are looking at the educational factor. Well, do I have to become educated to be a pastor? Let me share this. Let me fade the music out. And I want to get real with you. I want to get real with you here. And because, I think this is a serious question. Must I have an education to pastor a church? Well, I'm going to tell you something. It would really help if you would, especially if you're going to in an intelligent society. In my life, I have come across so many guys that are talented speakers, talented persuaders of people to try to get them to join a particular program, a building program, to get behind the cause. There are charismatic leaders that don't need an education. You can see them throughout history. Some of them have been good, and then again, some of them have been treacherous. What you want to do is you want to realize that if you are speaking on the behalf of God, it would do you well to make sure that what you're speaking is God's truth and not truth from your perspective. I think a Christian education is paramount if you're going to be a godly pastor that's going to lead a congregation. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. I did a Bible study last night, and my Bible studies are always, and I mean absolutely always, what's the word that I can use for it? Not exciting, but challenging. I challenge the Bible study students. I come up with a simple New Testament text in most cases, and I move on from there with particular premises and conclusions. Now, as I present these premises and conclusions, what I'm doing is I'm challenging the Bible student, the Christian, to prove me wrong. And in my Bible study, a lot of these people that think that they know scriptures are speaking from a view that is not biblical. And what I do is I present to the Bible study student, you need to be quiet and listen to me, because you don't know what you're talking about, and you can mislead other people that listen to you, because God is only going to speak through the Bible study teacher, all right? And the teacher is the one that knows what God is talking about because he studied God's words. He has put in a certain amount of time to know what the word teaches, and he is infused by God, called by God to teach. And everybody's not that. Christianity is not a smorgasbord of everybody being a particular leader. You know, I know that this, you know, that these are some of the themes that a lot of people pay very close attention to, because they believe that God is going to call and to orchestrate things in that particular way, but that is not the way that God does it. It doesn't work that way. God doesn't call everyone to be a Bible teacher. God doesn't call everyone to be a pastor. God doesn't give everyone the meaning of the text unless that person has done some study into the true meaning of that particular text. God does not give everyone the gift of getting that meaning over. That is exposition. And you will notice in the sermon series that I'm putting up on godly leadership, that is a topical sermon. It's not exposition. I start off with the scripture, and then from there, I go off on a topical discussion about what leadership looks like in a handful of deacons and deaconesses, coordinated by a godly pastor. And I'm giving some kind of an explanation through this series. And you can go to that series on the YouTube clips I may put after I wear out the bold preacher clip, because I want you to know why I'm doing house churches, why I won't come back into, that kind of ministry again. I could pastor any church that anyone would call me, and I could pastor that church, but I refuse to go along with foolishness. I will only deal with Christians as they show themselves to be exactly that, Christians. I guess the bottom line that I'm trying to share with you is that I believe that it is important for the Bible teacher or for the pastor, even if you're pastoring or over a house church type of setting, to have some kind of formal education, some kind of background in speaking. It's important, or you're going to sound like a bumbling idiot, especially if you take the scripture completely out of its context in order to build a pretext. And that's what most of our churches have become over the many years that we've seen it just basically fall apart. That's why I'm putting these clips up. I want you to view the clips. Gentlemen and ladies, I'm not talking to you, because God never called you to be a pastor. You lying. Because if God is now stooped to calling grandmothers to being pastors, no. That's how polluted this country has become in our churches. We've lost our mind. I know that this is very offensive language to some of you, because you're not used to hearing truth. What you've done is you've come up with this subjective idealism about what truth is to you. That is not the way truth is gathered. Truth isn't truth because you think it's truth. It has to be proven. It has to be validated. That's the way humanity has always been run. It's never been any other way. And, I love, putting together these webcasts, because, it's time. And I just got to share with you guys, the older I get, I want to retire. You know what I mean? I want to shut up. I want to disappear. I know some of you would love for me to disappear. Just disappear. Hey, old black man with the white hair, disappear in the woodwork and get the Hades out of my life, and stop putting these clips up and stop doing this stuff. We don't want to hear from you. We want it our way. We want to have some fun. It's about having some fun here, John. It ain't about all this old-fashioned stuff. That crap you giving us ain't no Christianity, man. You scaring half of us to death here. By the stuff you putting up on your website, you're telling us that we're not even on our way to heaven. Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying that if you don't do it exactly the way that God intends for it to be done, that it is not biblical. Exactly. That is exactly what I'm doing. That's exactly what I've been saying for years. And now we've looked at a church that has gone stark raving mad. Now you got your grandmamas and your wife in the pulpit, and she need to go home and shut up somewhere. Now we just take the Bible. Oh, we don't like what Paul said. We don't even like what Jesus said. So now we twist it all up. My goodness. I don't believe in Islam and the Quran, but there's one thing that I can say. At least they hold true to what they think is the word of God. And here we are, man, the most bumbling idiot Christians that I've ever heard in my life. Anything goes. Now you got homosexual pastors. Are you out of your minds? This is perversion. And to even have a church council sit down to try to have some kind of let us come to grips with whether we're going to accept this. Who in God's name are you to accept anything? You all need to repent. Church has lost its mind. So this man will shut up when he dies. All right? I'm going to shut up when I die. I'm not going to shut up. I'm not going to cease to tell you what you need to hear because you need to hear it. Some of you need to understand. You need to back off from all this ministry stuff, especially if you have in your mind the aptitude or the attitude of making some money. You want to make some money in this. Say, I'm getting in this because I want to make me some money. I can make me some money. I can become popular. I can become this. I can become that. They can look at me. And I'm not talking to one. Okay, I'm not talking with you, my brother. I'm talking with everybody out there that has that kind of disposition and attitude. That is not of God. If you get involved in ministry in any way, it is selfless. In other words, you don't view yourself at all. There is nothing about you that means anything. You are dead to yourself. Ministry is not about making money. Ministry is not about being popular. Ministry is not about somebody saying amen when you make a statement. When you watch the Godly Leadership Series, you will see a lot of people saying amen, amen, amen. Shortly after I spoke at Calvary, they kicked its pastor out. You see his name there. They kicked him out. Because he was trained in my homiletic class on how to be a biblical pastor, they got rid of the man. Kicked him out. Because churches like that don't want a biblical man. I'm trying to help you when I put these things up on this website. I am not some crazy old black man. You know what? Some of these idiots say, oh, well, he's just jealous because he didn't have it. You've seen me preaching in churches. What do you mean I didn't have? I resigned and walked away from them. I've never been following wood, hay, and stubble people. No preacher in his right mind is going to be happy when he's in a building that he's built with his name on it and so that he can stick his chest out and beat it. And let me tell you something right now. If you're attending a fellowship, I don't care who you are. If you're pastoring a fellowship where some of you pastors need to listen to me because you will be judged again at the judgment seat of Christ. If you don't listen to Pastor John right now, some of you need to walk away from that mess that you've built. God didn't build that mess. You did that. And you spending up money that black people and white people don't have to try to keep that insane asylum that you built going, and now you're trying to tag God's name on it to make it worth his while. Now, I don't know how true this is. Somebody needs to hit me. Somebody told me something recently about T.D. Jakes winning his study in his church or something, and something blew up. I haven't heard anything about that. I don't know about that. I guess I need to go on a Google search and put down T.D. Jakes' study blown up. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you something. God needs to blow up a lot of this mess that calls itself church. Never heard of it so ridiculous in my life. In the state of Texas, black people ain't got no money. Like in this state of California, folk ain't got no money. All right, let me give you a good example. You saw on your TV, okay, the big celebration of the Lakers in the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum yesterday, right? Well, I was driving back in from Victorville with Mario, and I missed the traffic jam and everything. And no, I wasn't in that crowd. Why would I go there? Here's the inevitable question that you have to ask. Why would over 80,000 people go in there and pay homage to a bunch of overpaid athletes? And I like the Lakers. Don't get it twisted. I have a Laker jersey. Got a couple of them. I really like the sport. I'm into basketball more than ever because I got more time to watch it than I did when I was a very young man in graduate school. I didn't have time for that. So I like the Lakers. But I'm not going to go in and get in the crowd of almost 85,000 people to pay homage to a bunch of millionaires. For what? It doesn't make it. There were some Christians in that group. And some of these Christians will not even pay homage to God in the correct way because everything is a show. Now, I wonder if they had opened up the Memorial Coliseum to ask all the Christians to appear there free, and if some rich Christians would pay for it just to hear the message of the gospel. Do you think that that place would be filled up with 80,000 Christians in this city? And LA is huge. I want those of you that that don't live here to know this. This is a huge city. And all these people and the LA Coliseum is in basically in the part of town that I live in. See. Now I'm giving you. And I'm making this webcast. I don't care how long it is, really. I'm making this webcast because I'm trying to hip many of you to what is going on in these churches out here. You've been duped. If you don't hear preaching and teaching like this, biblical, in your community where somebody is explaining the scripture to you and challenging you as a Christian, just like I did last night in my Bible study, and I hushed them up. I just shut them down. I said to man, and then I showed them at the end of the Bible study, the bold preacher clip, because a lot of the people in the home Bible study, that they haven't seen that. They don't know the journeys that I've come through. They just, hey, wait a minute. I'm not some little preacher trying to get a building. I'm not a person trying to recoup my